It's been a while since I've been up here. But I told Brother Ben, I asked him if he had about six songs picked out for tonight. And so I guess singing all four verses is about the same. I guess it was the best he could do, so we'll go with it. My goal last time was to keep the message between about 10 and 50 minutes. And at about the 50-minute mark, there was a crazy lady in the back raising her hand, tapping her watch. So she's not here tonight. So, Brother Kenny, if I get close to that 50-minute mark, I'm going to be looking at you. No, I think we'll be closer to the 10-minute mark tonight than we will be the 50. But anyway, y'all be in prayer for me as we get ready to go with this message. The first time that Brother Isaac asked me to lead a men's devotional at a men's breakfast, you know, I thought to myself, what is it that I can tell this group of men that they've never heard before? What is it that I can tell this group of men that have studied and read the Bible for decades that they have never heard? And I quickly realized that it was nothing. It wasn't possible. And so then I thought, okay, well, what does this group of men need to hear from me? What do they need to hear from Daryl? And again, the answer quickly was nothing. They don't need to hear anything from me. There's nothing I can tell them that they haven't already heard. And the same goes for tonight. And so with that being said, tonight my prayer is that God will just use me as a vessel to share what I feel he has laid on my heart to share with you all, and that is to ask, who are you? So I've titled this message, Who Are You? And if you would, turn to your Bibles to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And stand with me as we read God's word if you're able. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. God's word says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the many blessings you've given us, Lord. Right now, Lord, I just pray that you use me as a vessel to share your word, that it may touch somebody and make a difference somehow in somebody's heart, Lord. I pray that you just hide me behind the cross. Just be with us all here and be with us the rest of the week. Forgive me for my sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Ben, in the back, stand up. Describe yourself in three words. Never mind, sit down. I don't want you to embarrass anybody. McKinnon, you stand up. Describe yourself in three words. Never mind, I don't want to be embarrassed either. You sit down. So, all right, everybody, just take a moment and think about that. How would you describe yourself in three words? All right? I'm not going to call anybody else to stand up, so you don't have to worry about that. But in three words, who are you? How would you describe yourself? Now imagine being a freshman in high school. But not just that, a freshman in high school at a new school. And having to get up in front of the class, introduce yourself, and describe yourself in three words. That'd be terrifying for most people. Me included. I would not like to be that person. But Holly's brother is a teacher. And at the beginning of the year, that was one of the assignments he gave, was for the students to write an introduction of themselves and describe themselves in three words. They had the first week to complete it, and if they didn't turn it in to him by the end of the week, then they had to stand in front of the class and do it. And So I don't know the particulars and the exact details of it, but more or less that was it. So they did that. Well, a week or two later, they had a new student that came. And he didn't get the opportunity to just turn it in. He automatically had to stand in front of the class, give his introduction of himself, and describe himself in three words. One of the words that this young man used to describe himself in front of this new class at a new school was Christian. Out of all the students my brother-in-law has, he was the only student that described himself as a Christian. In the Bible Belt, in Oklahoma, in rural small town, I'm sure that he's not the only kid that goes to church. I'm sure he's not the only kid whose parents drag him to church. But he's the only kid that stood in front of his new classmates and said that he was a Christian. Do you think his classmates treat him different because of that? I hope so. Just like when we get new people at work and they find out I'm a Christian, they don't talk the same way around me. And I appreciate that. I hope his classmates are the same way. I hope they don't act the same way they would if they didn't know he was a Christian. I hope they do treat him different. Do you think it took courage from that young man? I do. But it might not have. It may have been no big deal to that young man. It may just be who he is. And I pray that's what it was. Do you think that young man was ashamed? Absolutely not. I don't think there was a bit of shame in him saying that he was a Christian. I think he boldly stood there and proclaimed that he was a Christian. Paul said in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Like Paul, this freshman in high school was not ashamed. He was not ashamed of the gospel or to be called a Christian. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel because he knew the life-changing power that it contained, because he lived it. He experienced it. He was going through it. And verse 17 shows us that by trusting Christ, our relationship with God is made right. From faith to faith means that from the start to finish, God declares us to be righteous because of faith and faith alone. Amen. Now, if we look back where we started, Galatians 2, verse 20, it says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Amen. Legally, God looks at us as if we have died with Christ. Because our sins died with Him, we are no longer condemned. And our Christian life began at that time when we died to our old self. But we have to daily put off the old man and put on the new. And it's a daily struggle for us at times to do that. But it's something that we have to strive to do every day, to live that life. And Christ lives in us. He is our reason for living and our hope for the future. And in 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 9, 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 9, Paul wrote, "For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. By the grace of God I am what I am." I've done things in my life that I'm ashamed of. I've acted in ways that I'm too embarrassed to ever speak of again. But it's because of God's abundant grace that I am who I am today. And I pray that you could say the same. That I am a child of God. I am saved. I am a husband. I am a father. I am a son. I am a brother. I am a follower of Christ. I am a Christian. Amen. And in spite of my past sin, God has made a way for me to be forgiven. Amen. He offers that same free gift of salvation to all today who will come to Him in repentance and put their faith and trust in Christ alone. So Paul said, "For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." Paul had been an enemy of the Christian church to the point of capturing and persecuting the believers. And we all know that after he became a believer, he also became the most influential of all of the apostles. Paul knew he had worked hard and accomplished much, but he also knew that it was only because God had poured out so much kindness and grace, that unmerited favor upon him. And if we look at ourselves today, I think much of us are the same, receiving an abundant amount of grace that we don't deserve. Amen. From God. Amen. We need to acknowledge that. I feel a little more often than we do. At least I'm guilty of it. I don't acknowledge it as much as I feel like I should, but I'll surely accept it and be thankful for it. But we have to remember that we can't fool God. We might be able to fool our co-workers or classmates or our friends on social media, but no matter how hard we try, we will never be able to fool God. Amen. You know, a couple of years ago, Blake, for those of you who don't know, he's been my best friend for the past 25 years probably. No. You know, if there's anybody who knows me any better than my wife, it'll be Blake. And a couple of years ago, he had somebody message him on Facebook and ask if I was really who I appeared to be on Facebook, because somebody that we knew in high school and shortly thereafter who knew us in high school and now had sent us friend request on Facebook and was following both of us and has seen who I am now and what I post now. You know, they asked Blake if that was really me or if I was just putting on a show for Facebook. And Blake said, "No, what you see is who D is. That's who Daryl is." Amen. Like, it's not fake. You know, and that was kind of eye-opening for me. Like, I'm glad. Amen. That he was able to say that. You know, that would be very disappointing if he had to say otherwise. You know, And I just wonder, how many people are fake like that? You know, just put on a show for social media, or just put on a show for their parents or their church family or, you know, somebody else. Just put on a show for your coworkers and then behind closed doors or, you know, elsewhere, something totally different. But I'm just thankful that I had that testimony. I'm not saying I'm perfect by any means. I'm far, far from it. My family will attest to that any day of the week. You can ask them. But, you know, it's a blessing, and it's amazing at the amount of grace and mercy that God shows us. Amen. And so often I feel so undeserving. Amen. Does anybody else ever feel undeserving of God's grace? Amen. But the good thing about that is God changes everything about us at that moment of salvation. He gives us a heart transplant. We see that in Ezekiel 36:26. Ezekiel 36:26 says, "A new heart also will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." Philippians 2:5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus." And if we have the mind of Christ, then our words, attitudes, and actions will reflect His priorities and His purpose. Amen. Not ours. We won't be wanting to do what Daryl wants to do or what you want to do on your own time. You'll be wanting to be in God's will and do God's will and do what God will have you to do. Amen. Ephesians 4:22 says that ye put off concerning the former conversation or way of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The world around us should be able to tell the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. We should be set apart. We should live in a way that doesn't compare to a non-Christian. We shouldn't be comparable to them. We have to leave behind the old life that was full of sin and start living a life that will bring honor and glory to God. Amen. So like I said, I'd be closer to the 10-minute mark than the 50-minute mark tonight. And you know, I'd like to close with one last verse, and it's Ephesians 4:32. It says, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Just, are you always kind to everyone around you? Do you always have a tender heart? Most of us aren't always as kind as we could be or should be. We might feel like we have a tender heart, but it could always be a little more tender at times, I'm sure. Being forgiven, be forgiving, even if those haven't asked for forgiveness. God does not forgive us because we forgive others, but out of His great mercy. And having received that forgiveness, we should be willing to forgive. Just think about who Jesus forgave. Jesus forgave those who persecuted Him. He forgave those who crucified Him on the cross. What has anyone done to you that could compare to that? Nothing. So before you leave here tonight, just ask yourself, who am I and who do others say that I am? Brother Ben.
Time, we're going to sing. You can respond to the word of God. If you need to be saved, you can trust.